We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 4 years, 1 month, and 6 days into 14 days to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Anderson alongside Ned. How are you, Mr. Wizard? Welcome back.
I'm fine. I'm rebalanced.
Yeah, that's
quite
good.
It's quite an eye-opener. It's a total amazing culture, ballroom and Latin dancers and all that, which are when they're at a really high level. Blackpool was quite an experience. Glad I went.
That's good.
Yeah.
Everyone
stepped up and... Oh, because it was nationals and it was the first for them and they qualified and everything. So they did very well. I was quite impressed to see them out there.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's good. And Marty and I gave you a nice podcast to listen to on the way back, I think, in the car.
Marvelous. I didn't actually listen to it in the car.
You didn't listen to it?
I had something better to listen to. I'm glad I actually did because it was all about hats and T-shirts, wasn't it?
Yes, T-shirts that are too small for you, yes. Maybe that'll unbalance you again, yeah.
I actually preferred the photograph where he was looking human, not Australian.
That is true, yeah. Yeah. Well, he is back.
He just made me think about something because I spoke to him today.
Yeah.
And he said, it's made from leather of a kangaroo.
The hat, yeah.
The hat. So, yeah, so he's probably got a wallaby's arse on his head or something.
It could be, yes.
Well, wallaby's a smaller one. But
a smaller one, yeah.
Yeah, you have the arse of a marsupial on your head.
Well, and it was protecting him from that sun, too, yes. You better believe it.
No, that's good. No, I'm only messing. Hopefully it was made from a different part of the marsupial.
Let's hope. Right. He is back, and he did make it back, and he will be on here in the next couple of days to tell everybody about his trip where it's still fresh.
He'll be chomping at the bit.
We talked today for a little bit. And the first thing he said to me before we even got into any business was, I want to come on sooner rather than later because I'm ready. And I said, okay, fine. So it'll be the first of the week right after this.
Oh, you can do a couple.
Yeah, I did tell him. And he says, well, I want to do one and then we'll do our other one at the regular time. I said, okay,
excellent.
Fine.
No, that'd be good.
Yeah, but
I'll listen to them all. I will. I feel guilty when I miss odd one or two, but life can get a bit busy.
Well, to do some housekeeping here, we did run into some problems. We were going to have Vince on this past week. It was going to be his first, but something else came up. It was an emergency, but we're going to reset. We're going to get back to a regular schedule at some point. But these things
happen.
He'll
turn up when he's got time and life allows him. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
That's right.
And then we're working on something else to have another guest on once every 2 weeks. And that's going to be really interesting. We'll be talking about that in the coming days ahead. And that's going to be it's going to be quite something. So, and that person will also be taking part in some of our roundtable discussions as well.
That
and of course, Bruce will be coming back from time to time to join him as well. So,
yeah, it'd be good to see Bruce, even if it's just to find out how he's doing.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you can message him anytime you want. But
I know. But I just don't like to interrupt somebody when they're trying to build the life up and stuff. You know. But yeah, okay. Point taken. I haven't been in touch.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. So you dump it back on me. That's fine.
I'll take the slap.
That's fine. All right. Into the business of the day. We're going to try and get back to regular podcasting this week. We're going to do our best to do that. So how are you fixed for topics? And let's see what you got.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going into this. I don't know. Every time I look at something, whether it's the media, whether it's the papers, whatever, it all just seems to be tightening its grip in this age of control, this social chains they're putting on everybody, so nicely attaching them to everybody, so calmly being taken by everybody.
Yes.
You know, and we are. Yeah. And remember, we were just talking about it before, the actual Urban Dictionary explanation of a COVIDian.
COVIDian, but yeah, we were talking about that in prep. I said, no, I'm sorry, did you say COVIDiots or COVIDians?
Well, yeah, somebody actually wrote a piece that actually said COVIDiot or COVIDian. Is there much of a difference? But the actual Urban Dictionary explanation of it is a person who identifies with COVID-19 or is obsessed with COVID-19 prevention measures, elevating COVID-19 mitigation to the level of religious persuasion, actually wearing items such as masks still to identify themselves to others.
I saw one today wearing a mask just about an hour and a half ago.
Yep. It doesn't do anything, so it must be a stamp for them to say, yeah, look at me. That is your COVIDian. There you go. And a breed of whatever you would like to call them. But yeah, I found that quite a good explanation, actually. But then I didn't know we had an Urban Dictionary, which is quite interesting. But then going with that, you've got, because I was obviously looking into the explanations, because Martin mentioned long vaccination. And, you know, like when it came out, we all said that's just fog to cover.
Yeah.
You know, the long COVID is fog just to cover the vaccine problems. Well, now they're actually voicing it. The doctors are out there and voicing it. And they have actually, there's hundreds, there's thousands of people coming in now, and they're getting tested. They're vaccinated, they're getting tested and everything. And they're saying, right, and they're putting records down from so many, even from some of them are from the day after up to the 14 days, and they get, and then on and on and whatever. And it just goes from fatigue, brain fog, short-term memory loss, inability to focus, confusion. These are changes that people have seen in others, yeah? Then you've got the abdominal issues, and it's obviously there's smell loss, taste loss. And all this adds up to anxieties, and it changes people. This vaccine has affected people in so many different ways. And the simplicity of it all is what the warning is. If you affect the capillaries in your brain, because this thing is designed to go across all barriers, you will get changes in people, because these affect all your system. And then it goes even into the so you've got neurological problems, even down to the nervous problems, you've got disabilities. And it's all being catalogued by several different people, whether it's scientists, doctors, or whatever. And yet, all the government inquiries going into it just seem to have self-justification. And that's all it's for, to justify, or an arse-covering contest, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and it makes me wonder, and I'm sure it makes you wonder too, what are they going to do for the next one? Because you know they're going to pull this BS again. They are.
It's interstate. I mean, people have just got to start looking at this, yeah? You've got people that are saying, well, it's over now.
No.
Excuse me?
No. I tell everybody that says that, I pull one of your lines every time someone tells me that. I say, okay, all right, fine. Yeah, it's over. But why are the emergency orders still in place?
Why are the emergency orders?
Why are we still under a state of emergency?
And why are they still pushing the COVID vaccine?
Yeah, we're on like, what, the 10th now or the 11th or
COVID,
something?
COVID, you see, people, if you really want to know, look into it. You have got the Freedom of Information Act. You can actually go out there and find out how long COVID has been around. And it's been around pre-millennia. Pre-millennia. Okay? So it's been around for long. The strain, the actual strain of the virus that became COVID, known as COVID-19, was man-made. What you got to work out is if it was accidentally released or was it deliberately released. Either way, shouldn't there be some form of council talking about this? Shouldn't there be some form of accountability? Shouldn't we be investigating the whys and wherefores of this, but we're not on a global scale. Just simply ask why. Ask yourself why. If you can't bring yourself to one, you know, stand up and get in the face of the people that are supposed to look after you, like our governments, put that question in your own brain and go, why? What's going on? Why aren't there any answers? Because it's over? That's not nice. I mean, there's people dead. The simple thing is, there are people dead, and the numbers will just get greater. But on top of that, it's funny how you've got things like, hang on, before COVID-19, did we have a food crisis?
Well, that honestly, that depends on who's defining the crisis. But I'm going to go with no. Yeah, I'm going to go with no.
Our market prices for food were?
A lot lower than what they are now.
Define a lot.
Well, we're looking at record inflation because of everything.
If it cost $10 now, it probably cost $2 then.
Well, okay, let me just use an example. I have two examples that I can tell you right now that I noticed for myself off the top of my head. Okay, so let's go with cheese, right? That's a big thing. Everybody buys cheese, right?
It's a standard thing. Yeah,
it's a standard thing. It is a staple in most diets in Western culture. Okay, so cheese. Right now, cheese, pre-COVID, I was paying for 500 grams. I was paying for Gouda cheese. I was paying 99p, right? So 99 cents. For 500 grams of it. Now it's $4.99.
It's gone up.
It's gone up that much.
Incredible amount.
Yeah, it's gone up that much. Olive oil.
So if 100% is doubling it,
yeah,
it's gone up several times that.
Yes.
It's several 100%.
Yes. Let's look at olive oil. Okay. Pre-COVID, I was paying $4.99 for 750 milliliters of,
I'm sorry,
500 milliliters, so half a liter, right?
Okay.
I was paying $4.99 for that. Now, just as I bought it the other day, it's now $10.99.
Mm-hmm. And that itself has gone over 100%.
Yes.
So when they're actually talking about, you know, when people say inflation of so much percent, you're talking these increments mount up every month, yeah? And you can get the idea that you've been lied to, you can go and look at the shelves and look at you what you want. What hurts me is I can go to a supermarket or whatever and I will get what I want, irrespective. But there are a lot of people there that go to the nearly out of date stuff and whatever. And it's an area where you can tell that they're not used to going. I mean, everybody looks there. It doesn't matter whether you do there or not. It's still good food. Because as much as that is something that's come down over the years, you used to have about 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks on a date. Now it's down to about 4 or 5 days. It's on the shelf and you're giving it, well, yeah, because it's all turn around and sell.
Yeah.
But these people have a wary look on their face. And, you know, and they know they haven't got the money, but they've got to eat and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And things cost so much more. And it's painful.
It is.
They shouldn't be put in that situation.
I saw that. I'll tell you what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing the sections like you're talking about people going. I am seeing people buy like the cheaper brand stuff and the off-brand stuff. I am seeing in generic brands. I'm watching a lot of that when I go to the shops. But what I'm seeing
is brands. Yeah. I know you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like you. I don't have an issue.
But I buy some of them, you know. Because,
I do too. Yeah. But some of it is
actually healthier for you.
It is.
Because it has less sugar in a lot of it,
yes,
as well.
Yeah. I read the labels of everything, you know, stuff that's in there. And I'm like, all right, you know, I'll take that instead. And it's cheaper. But, you know, I'm like you. I don't have to worry about any, you know, I can just go in and get what I need. But I see a lot of people that are, after they get done at the checkout, I see them standing off to the side with that look on your face like you're talking about, and they're looking at their receipt, wondering what happened.
Yeah, it's disgusting what society's done to itself. And the thing is, the COVID-19 proxy war, Ukraine. I mean, how that has been blamed for, hang on, well, let me see, the food crisis got blamed on it. Why? The grain that came out of the Ukraine and Russia and all them ports, most of it was never destined for the West.
No, it doesn't go to Europe.
That was just used as a tool. That was used to create the energy crisis. I mean, if you look at it, right, your government, you always look at the world and you go, different societies, especially big societies like China and Russia and the West, have always been looking at each other with some form of distaste or wait for it, something's going to happen. So would you deliberately make yourself reliant on something from one of those if you were from one of the other cultures? Europe made itself very reliant on Russian gas, did it not?
It did. They're not going to be doing that in the future, but yeah, they did.
Yeah, but the thing is, all these moves were deliberate to some form or another. These weren't accidents. Everything seems to be created to force a society. You take the weak energy we have that we always shout about, wind, solar.
Yes, the whirly gravestones, as you call them.
The whirly gravestones. They are. All these, right, people, we have just about subsidized every nasty idea that's come out of corporations this millennia, at least. Yes, it's got seriously bad this millennia. When you design something, if it can't stand on its own merits, you wouldn't buy it and take it home. Yeah, right. It's like you walking into a shop and someone going, you see that washing machine? It's the best range there is. But if you give me £200, I'll let you have it for £300. How's that?
Box it up. I'll take it. Let's go.
Yeah. So you're subsidizing yourself out of pocket to then pay them again. And that is what subsidy, it's coming out of your pocket.
And after it breaks down prematurely, you'll have the recycling program to go out and pick it up and redo it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, and the
you charge them to do it.
And the solar. And when they've decided it's time to fail that, they'll be creating companies subsidized by you to get rid of them.
Which BlackRock is currently doing.
Otherwise, they'll stay there. So, it's just one step after another. Aren't you sick and tired of it? I know I am. So, you've got your carbon credits. They're talking about water credits, yeah? So if you use too much water, you can actually then, apart from actually paying already for it, you can then get water credits if you want a bit more.
I'm sure that Nestle would be happy to sell those to you, yeah.
Yeah, Nestle, yeah. By the cartload. Use your own water and sell it to you. The debt levels have gone through the roof. I mean, if you think about it, the debt levels in 2008, like you were talking previously, when the taxpayers bailed everything out, because why should have we bailed them out? They were no good. They could.
Those were toxic assets. They should have been burned out.
They took the money, they took the assets, and then they took the taxpayers' money, basically, because the assets aren't in the hands of the taxpayers. If you think about it, if everybody in the UK had been given enough money to pay their mortgage off, all that money would have gone back into our economy.
Yes, because all the money earned. Yeah, all the money earned would have gone straight.
People would have earned money, and instead of worrying about the mortgages and that, they would have gone on the same level, and they would have gone out. They would have supported their economy by going out, buying stuff, doing whatever. The simple thing was they caused an asset crisis on housing, and we bailed them out. Whereas our money should have stayed in our own pockets, bailed our mortgages out, and we could have then just carried on level. You probably would have been in a tax haven by now.
We would have actually been in, people don't understand, we would have been in a better position now if we would have taken the bankruptcy and cleaned out all those toxic assets back then. If we would have done that, we would be out of that into a boom phase right now.
You would have been in economic utopia.
Yeah,
you would
we'd be flourishing right now.
Because people would have had their, if you just got rid of the mortgages on people's houses, all that money people would have spent enjoying themselves, putting into the future for their families, it would have just been in its society. But the idea of 2008 was to start the zero asset culture. And that was the button for people not to have anything. That was the major thing. And that was an evil move.
And it's just when you say moved on, we've compounded that problem, I think, probably 50 times over now.
Oh, yeah.
We're in a much worse position now. And now did you catch that Bruce and I were talking about before he left? Did you catch that he and I were talking about how the Fed has stopped the overnight loans to the banks?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Sorry.
So here's what's going to happen now. All the banks that were lending out money that they didn't have in the first place, they've stopped all of that. So at the end of every evening, whenever a bank did not have enough money in the vault to cover the loans that they gave that day, they would just call up the central bank and say, this is what we did. And the central bank would wire that money to them. It would be there the next morning. That was an overnight loan. They were doing that all the way down to the local branches. They'd been doing that since 2008. We actually had protection measures in place prior to 2008 to where that could not be done. But we removed all of that. The Fed has just turned that faucet off. So now we're just waiting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like the fuse has been lit is what I'm telling you.
Oh yeah. It's going to go boom.
Oh, it's going to go boom. All right.
Oh yeah. Now, people don't understand there are so many firms. We talked about it before, and I would like to reiterate it with an example. All these asset firms, yeah, there used to be such a thing, and so they used to say, oh, the monopoly, somebody's got monopoly on something. And the way they got around that is these major asset firms, which if you looked into, say, the top 500 firms in the share indexes, no matter where you are, you will find certain asset firms, and they are all have shares in each other. So they're all interlinked. And that's how they get around this supposedly monopoly, but it's all a shadow monopoly. And it is pretty scary. It's like in this country, yeah, as an example, very recently, there was a firm that had 95 hectares of land. It used to be an old, what was it? Power station site. That's it. An old power station site up Blythe in North England, yeah? And this company was called British Volt. And they were going to build a huge sort of battery storage complex for the coming EVs.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Right.
Which sort of didn't happen. So they've gone under. They're in receivership. So they've gone under. They're in receivers. The receivers have got all the assets, right? But up comes a firm, right? Which says, now we want to build, we'll buy it. Yeah. We want to build one of the biggest data banks in Europe. Hang on. Is Britain in Europe?
Yes. If you look at the map of the EU, it's still there. It is still there.
I know. That's scary, isn't it? Someone's still got their foot on our neck. And it's very apparent the way the government is acting in much. And there's such a waste. Anyway, this company, yeah? Now, if I gave you its name, I don't know whether you know the history of it, but I do. The company's name is called Blackstone Equity.
Blackstone. I was just, you know what? Just a couple of minutes ago when you were talking about asset firms, I was going to, and how they named them, I was going to say, you know, BlackRock did something with Blackstone.
BlackRock and Blackstone were under the same umbrella in the 80s under...
Was it Vanguard?
Yeah, what's the name of it? It was the name of... No. It was actually called Blackstone Financial something.
And then they split
and the
it.
And the two went their own way.
Okay.
Now, Blackstone Equity put themselves up as an alternative to the other asset management firms.
Yes, of course they did.
Well, yeah. But they've already acquired... This is what gets me, yeah? These people, especially in the UK, Blackstone has been acquiring stuff in the UK during COVID. Now, one of the major businesses in COVID that must have suffered was the leisure industry because of all the lockdowns.
Yes, the hospitality industry, yeah.
Yeah, so guess who picked up a lot of that?
Blackstone.
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
It was the same thing with BlackRock and the real estates, the real estate ventures that were folding in the U.S. They were buying up, because we talked about this, BlackRock, they were buying up whole communities that were in foreclosure. They would just go in and buy like half of a community up.
Yeah. So they created the misery, or they are part of creating the misery, these big corporations, because these asset firms have their foot on just about every board of every major corporation, don't they? Yeah, they do. Well, talking just about this simple thing. Now, Blackstone founded 1985. I've got the date. Both Blackstone and BlackRock were under the same umbrella under a thing called Blackstone Financial Management. They became two separate entities. Blackstone, in quotation marks, is seen as the voice of the world's alternative asset management. By 2023, they were already worth $1 trillion. Over the misery of others.
All right. So $1 trillion. Okay. So they're a little bit further behind than the $10 trillion.
They're a bit further behind, but they're intended to that. They've got their, this is like, well, yeah, people are going to see us big ones as whatever. But so they invested $400 million in the UK in a thing called Liftoff, yeah, which is a mobile advertising thing. And then in 2021, under the misery of lockdown, they went and got major shareholdings in what they called Bourne Leisure within the UK, which include Butlins, Haven Holdings, Warner Leisure. It's everywhere. So they're taking bites and bites. But the trouble is, what people don't get, the largest shareholders in Blackstone, yeah, let's say the top four, would you recognize these names? Morgan Stanley?
Yes, of course.
BlackRock, Inc.?
Yes, of course, yeah.
Vanguard Group, Inc.?
Yeah, State Street, I'm sure.
And Charis, I think it's called Charis Schwab Investment Company.
Charles Schwab, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's, but all of these are interlinked. They will have shares in each other.
Yes.
Yeah, and the sayings that they have, just like the WEF, they are to create a better financial future for their clients. Ordinary people aren't their clients, are they?
No.
No. No, they're not. Everyday people. They've got their foot in everybody's life and they control in it generally, but we're not seen as the client.
So no, when they voice things like that. You don't have regular shareholders in that. No.
No. No, they don't. So there you go. So that's an ordinary business that has gone under. Now, something else has been shouted out, and what I should have put in there was, because I didn't look, I should have looked to see if, have you heard of Shah Capital, S-H-A-H?
I've not heard of that one.
Yeah, it's basically one of those created hedge funds, yeah, right? And they came to the fore the other day because Novavax were in a bit of a problem.
Novavax, what have they done? Yes, another company that's never created a successful product. What have they done or not done in this case?
Well,
that was Bill Gates' company, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. But unhappy with the plunge of share prices since the pandemic of US biotech, right?
Uh-huh.
Because they're all linked, yeah? The top five shareholders called for a shake-up in COVID-19 vaccine maker Novavax. Now, these people, although everyone's thinking COVID-19's out the way, these people are deciding we've got to push a COVID-19 vaccine. Why? To get the share prices off the floor. The largest shareholders in Novavax are Vanguard Group, Inc., BlackRock, Inc., Shah Capital Management, Morgan Stanley, etc., etc., etc. This line goes on.
Yeah.
It's the same one, people. So we picked an ordinary firm, and now we've picked a pharmaceutical firm. Who's in the top slots? Those people again. Stocks are down, they reckon, over 90%, nearly at... Well, heading for 99% down.
Yeah, they're going probably to zero. But you know, I have to say, if you look at the pharma stocks and they're down, and you've got pharma companies that are in the process of, well, I'm not going to say laying off, they're going to fire people. They need another pandemic.
Yeah, but they're pushing drugs unnecessarily. That's why the RSVs.
That's why they need another excuse.
That is why they do HPV. That's why they do all these things unnecessarily. They're pumping people full of shit and frightening them to get it in them.
Yes. Again, my point. They need another pandemic to frighten people. Then they need a bigger one this time, is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, but you want to see the idea of this is right. They've got this angle on it. You know, like you said, it's to do with Bill Gates, right?
Yeah.
So these guys have thought, well, I've got an idea. So this is a published idea. Pivoting biotech sales strategy for its COVID-19 shot, which will be based or is based on traditional vaccine technology. So they want to target older people which are unnerved by rare side effects associated with mRNA.
Yes, of course.
I.e. Pfizer and Moderna.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they're publishing this stuff in what they want to do. So money made over the plandemic, because it was, and now money lost because people are giving it, I don't want it anymore. Do you know the difference in their price between 2021 and now is? They were worth up to 40 billion. And this isn't the biggest one, people. 40 billion during the COVID scare. And now they're down to 600 million and they're bitching. They just want to make money out of your misery. Oh, by the way, I looked into a projection for 2024 between the other companies like BioNTech, Pfizer, Moderna, just to do with the COVID-19 jabs, which shouldn't be pushed. They reckon they're going to do at least another 12 billion this year.
Well, that's interesting. I actually have something before we move on to the next topic after this, but do you know who Dr. Phil is? He's one of those TV doctors. Phil. Yeah, yeah.
Is he like Ed the horse?
Kind of. I mean, you could just you have a look at him there. He's
just put up. Is he a kiddies program scientist?
No. He's been one of those I don't know. Is he a psychologist or something like that? I'm not sure.
Oh, the best of scientists.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he says that Americans have to prepare for the next lockdown, and you better have a plan this time. And he's been
about what lockdown?
Well, he says that there's going to be another pandemic right around the corner, which is what we've all been surmising, is that that's what they're going
well,
to do.
Well, there can only be a pandemic if somebody releases another strain.
Which they have. I was going to say that. Yeah, they've got a whole magazine full of those things ready to go. But his whole deal was, and of course, he's been a big advocate since COVID, saying this is all insanity. This is lunacy. We've got to stop this. This is crazy. You know, look what we're doing to the kids kind of thing by keeping the schools shut. And he says, basically, he says, when you shut the schools down, the day you shut them down, he says, you better have a plan for reopening them. He says, I didn't see a plan for them to be reopened the first time around. He says, we have an entire generation suffering from developmental gaps, educational gaps, mental and emotional challenges, and there's still not a good plan to close those gaps. And he's right.
He is right. But isn't that common sense?
Yes, but we've abandoned common sense. We haven't, like, the whole thing with COVID, none of that was common sense. I didn't see a lick of common sense coming from anybody.
You know what makes me itch? Is when they put people onto media to voice something, you got to listen to it, say, yeah, we've been screaming about it so long, why are you now saying this? Then look at the possible directions it could take. Or is it just to appease somebody because something's going to come around the corner and slap you in the face?
Could be a little of both.
I mean, they call Bill Gates a prophet because why? Everything he says has happened. But the point is, if you look into his financial moves over the decades, he has prepped things, and then you look into where he's put his money, and then you look into who he's lobbied in governments to make sure it comes true. And then you look into what he's used his foundations to buy shares in, and what harm is caused by where he's put them, and then see when he dumps them and how he makes money out of it.
Yeah, he's actually changed his investments, and that was public for about a day or so. It wasn't very long. He changed his investments from injectables. He's now investing in inhalables for vaccines.
Inhalables,
yeah.
So now we have to have everything airborne, eh? Particulate aerosols and everything, right, will not be good for you because you can guarantee they'll be just as bad as a vape, and it'll be full of some real bad crap. And if you think popcorn lung is bad, once he's got this lot into you, you can imagine. No, if your lung takes the hit, you're buggered. They've been messing with your brain and your heart and all manner of immune deficiency now, just to bring everything to the fore. If your lungs get messed up, it's direct impact, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it sounds like population assassination to me. It's just, no.
Well, you hear him in the intro. If we do a really great job with this on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health, we can lower that number by 10-15%.
Well, yeah, but who's got any money at the moment?
I'm scratching my head on that one. But, well, apparently Vanguard, BlackRock, State Street have all kinds of money.
Yeah, the corporations got loads of money, yeah? The World Bank has been saying, where are we going to get money from to pop this up? They just make it up as they go along, because since the 2008 thing, you know, the bubbles of debt, fixed and moving and mobile, were, well, even at that time, I would say some in the region of, what's something like 700 divided by 30? That's at least 20-something, isn't it? It's between 20 to 30, yeah. It's
23.3.
Yeah. So basically, if you can imagine the trade value of the world, then times that whole trade value of the world by 23.3, they call it 20, make it even shinier. That's where the debt bubble was then. And I mean, they've been the decadent society of the millennia is just, and that is why they want to go to everything digitized, because they can make it up as they go along. I mean,
yeah, they'll keep that Ponzi scheme going forever.
Yeah, and it won't stop. I mean, the past week, to top all this thievery off, you've had climate ministers, UN officials, opening their mouths. And the one magical thing that they've done, they've gone all from various countries to a UN climate change officials, IMF, World Banks. They've been meeting in a bid to supercharge global talks on how the world should pay to combat climate change. Now, when the UN and ministers get together, to talk about how the world should pay. That's not corporate money. That's people's money going in the direction of corporate ideas. Nowhere else. And to fund the bureaucratic nightmares such as the WHO and the UN, right? So, and this is about funding for, hang on, what year was that? 2030 they brought up. That magical year. Yeah,
something about that year. I haven't quite figured it out
yet. They want $9 trillion.
Is that all?
And that's only for one thing, if you think about it.
Well, Charlie said that we need trillions for the climate agenda alone.
This is to combat climate change. $9 trillion by 2030. But there is going to be so much, many other things to do. So everyone's in debt. Get your IOU book out and just flash that, and the IMF is going to bring money from nowhere to say thank you for your debt.
Well, let's just liquidate BlackRock and we'll have that money solved, no problem.
Why don't we just liquidate all the asset management firms? Tell them to piss off.
But we shouldn't have them to begin with, I don't think.
No, we shouldn't. We should not have them. It's got to the point where, in this country especially, we have got energy firms, water firms, saying, oh, we've got no profit. Hang on. We haven't been able to do this work because it costs X amount, even though they were given X amount. They've been subsidized, but they have still managed to pay their dividends. They have still managed to pay the hot top management in the firms and whatever. But they're saying, we haven't got any money. Yeah, we can't sustain this. So guess what? Kick them out. Make them redundant. Get rid of them. Let our tax money take them back over. Don't give them anything. Just write it off. The shareholders can lose the money. We can take a kick in the ass for that one, renationalize it, rebuild it up, and never sell PLC so you have shareholders and you have external control. Not on your supports within the country, such as your rail networks, your water, your facilities, your energy. No, that shouldn't go beyond your borders, that sort of thing. Haven't we learned from that? I mean, isn't this what Europe and the natural gas thing was all about? The reliance on somebody that is supposedly being shouted as the enemy of the West, you know? Well, what'd you say?
I say they need to go out of business. We need to get back to business. That is what I say.
Well, yeah, we need to kick them out. And
yes,
countries need to take charge of their own country.
Well, yeah, but that would require that you would have the reins over your government. And clearly, as we've seen, they just don't care about what any of the people have to say. Well, they just ignore it and do whatever they want.
That move's going to have to come. That move is going to have to come because that is getting ridiculous. You're going to have people in their local councils pushing to go to Parliament, get into Parliament and say enough is enough.
You know, I go back
local
to the
representation.
I agree with that. But I go back to the story that Marty told here a couple of weeks ago or a few weeks ago now, where the local, I think you said it was a labor rep that came around and dropped a thing through his letterbox and he chased her down the street and offered her to come on to the podcast. And she said, well, I'm not allowed to do that. We're only allowed to go on certain things. And, you know, this is not an MP. This is not someone that's even elected into local council. I don't think this was just somebody as a rep for the party. And they're. And I'm pretty sure it's the same in the U.S. They're told they're only allowed to go on these platforms. This is what you're allowed to say. Yep. And you cannot stray outside of this.
No, you've got to have open platforms. Until you have open platforms and debate, nothing will happen. And that's what they're scared about. If you have open debate where you have opposition, right, this is on, and no closed media. Until that happens, people aren't going to move. And they know that. They know that because why are we in a situation, people, where as long as you look into that lovely little box called a telly, that what's coming out of it placates you, you know, gives you a reason to accept the lie. As long as you're getting that, you think your life will continue comfortably. Look back over the last few years and see how the difference in comfort and all this is starting to pinch has happened. Yeah. Because it is happening. It is happening. It is starting to pinch in all manner of directions. And they haven't finished yet. They do not want people to have things. And some people think it's a joke when people voice, oh, you'll have nothing and be happy. But that actually is a rhetoric coming out of people. You know, people with a lot of money and a lot of control. I mean, you take somebody shouted back the other day. Who was it? What people have got to be worried about, right, is the lie. We love titles, don't we? We love titles. It's like in COVID, Now, governments are saying, we never told you to take the vaccine, right? We never actually told you to do it. Under advice, they all used to say, and we used to shout, until they give a name of a person or someone that says they have scientifically proven this or whatever and put it in front of us and, you have to take this. No, they never told you. They advised you to take it and everything else. You were put in a situation, but all your comeback is, the government will say, will be against the firms that stipulated that you had to take it, not them. They will find a back door. You can guarantee it. But if a company had a title called the Science-Based Targets Initiative, you'd think it'd be wonderful, wouldn't you, Johnny? The
yes, science-based, of course. Yeah.
Well, be wary, because guess who this is funded by? The Bezos Earth Fund.
Had to be one of them, didn't it?
Yeah. But the thing is, they had to step back the other day because they made a statement to companies that they would be able to use carbon offsets to meet their climate goals. That means they had to cough up and pay for these carbon offsets. Yes, but there was a bit of an outcry. So all of a sudden it went quiet and then they made a new statement. Oh, there's no change at the moment. No change at the moment. Because they tried to push them in a direction and somebody went, you can stuff that. Yeah. But this is it. This Bezos Earth Fund is being used, right, to push things in different directions, suggest things, and they've got this science-based targets initiative. It's crap. If you come up against the SBTI, just ignore the bastards. Tell them to go jump, because it's the same fund that is talking about synthesized dodgy food and everything else. The Bezos Earth Fund has got its money in a lot of bad projects.
Well, I think one of those projects was something that I dug up of, actually, we talked about it last year, but it was almost a year ago to the date, a few weeks ago, where Bezos and Gates were launching a joint venture through companies that they have majority stakes in Greenland to start stripping the landscape off and mining it out for minerals and raw materials to make electric cars.
Yeah.
Where's their carbon offset for that?
Well,
destroying the landscape.
Remember Gates, he was flying in a plane. Somebody asked him a question and interviewed him and said, you fly everywhere, doesn't it seem to bother you or whatever? He goes, well, this is what the money's for, to offset carbon so I can go from one place to another and whatever. Because, some of us, it's needed for us to travel like this.
No. John Kerry said the same thing. He was in Iceland and someone questioned him about it. And he said, well, look, someone like me, we don't have a choice. We can't get on a boat and go everywhere. We have to fly.
It's not, you don't need to go anywhere then other than off a cliff like a lemming. But the point is, these people, by saying that, say, if you have enough money, you can do what you want. That is what it means. So if they're trying to create a social society where you can have nothing and be happy, where are you going other than 15 minutes in every direction?
On foot. If you're allowed to go
on bike, as long as you've got the right number plate, you can leave Oxford or wherever it is. They'll try to
100 times a year. Yes, you'll be charged a premium every time after that.
But so this is social control. I mean, they blatantly said if you have enough money, you can do what you want. Entitlement, and they're trying to take that away from ordinary people. How can you say if you have enough money, you can do what you want, but on the other side, the same people are saying you can have nothing and be happy. Where is the common ground there?
I think have nothing and be happy. I think that's not a statement. That's an order. I think you will be happy about that.
Yeah, but it's incredible the financial position that the world is in, and even BlackRock and those companies have said they can move companies in whatever direction they want because they are the major shareholders within these companies. It's disgusting. So people, look where your money is, or if you don't care, you will not eventually have any, the mirage of control will get ripped out. It will disappear. It will not be there. It will slowly seep away. And if you think you're in control of your future, just continue down that same sorry road, because somewhere along the line, people have got to start talking, standing up, wanting debate, wanting open argument and opposition, wanting accountability. We've just had a pandemic, supposedly, and we damn well know that it was a manufactured virus, a manufactured strain of a virus that's been around for a long time. If it was released by accident or otherwise, why isn't there accountability for the losses of people's lives? Or if it's only money you care for, why aren't you shouting for your money for accountability? Or have you got, or haven't you got the stomach to actually voice anything? It's upsetting.
It is. I was listening to somebody talk about a situation they were in South America the other day during COVID. And I said, people here, they buckled quickly in that part of the world. In South America, they folded up overnight. They did the same thing here. There wasn't really any resistance at all.
Nope. It's been a sort of smattering of people saying up against it or even standing up and shouting, but it's not going anywhere.
You've got people that do stand up, they don't get listened to. And then even if you had, we even saw, do you remember some of the protests that were in London and in Edinburgh and in these places? I mean,
if you think about the NHS, they actually were standing up at number 10, Trafalgar Square and everything saying,
they didn't care.
Look, no, they actually protested, and actually that did actually stop a lot of stuff that was in it. We can't put up with these mandates or whatever. It's just, and here's your uniform. We're all leaving.
Yeah,
do that to us.
But then you had
not until that point, and it was the lesser people did they realize that they were going to lose a lot of numbers of people that they did something. But if you think about it, the echelons, the ones middle to higher, they weren't involved in that because, funny enough, I don't understand. But there is a horrible feeling that this rot is in a lot of it. This is a terrible rot because remember, if places like New Zealand, which are linked to the UK, like Canada, and there's things going on there to our sovereignty and that, and in New Zealand, people at higher levels, and only so many of them, can put in for exemption from taking the vaccine and still work, but it wasn't allowed to the ordinary nurses.
No, and if you were a government official, then you didn't have to take it, but you had to sign an NDA.
Yeah. Why did you have to non-disclose it? Why did you have to be allowed not to take something and then not disclose it?
While
pushing it on everybody else.
That actually, when you brought that up, that actually It actually confirmed our suspicions that they weren't taking them.
Yeah. And that information is out there, people. So if it happens in one country in a world that's media isolated from each other, each country, do you think it went on in your own country at some level or other? Because, oh yeah, and then you've got people that are exempt from taking it, forcing it in some verbal way on others, and then getting others to down say people who didn't take it. And you had polarizations of your own society. So if you were told to take it by somebody that was exempt, and then you then shouted at somebody for being unvaccinated, do you really think you've been abused, people? Do you think the vaccinated people have been all massively abused and you were silly enough to become a tool and you can't face up to it? I mean, I live in a time where I still believe in choice. So within my own immediate family, I have some that have and some that haven't, but that is their choice. That didn't mean you had to get on each other's back for taking it or not taking it. I'm a bit upset. I'm not angry at you for taking it. I actually pity you for putting yourself in a silly position that you thought you had to and you didn't have the backbone to question things, especially those with children. And then you're supposed to teach them that sort of thing. Otherwise, how can they cope with life? And if it all comes out and your children at one day look at you and go, well, why did you tell me to do this? And for some cases, if you've lost children, I mean, there's several families out there that are people, even in Europe and that, or in America, that actually got pictures, they got collages of teenagers and sportsmen from all over the world that have just dropped dead, that have gone to bed and not woken up. If that's happened in your family and you haven't had an autopsy, wouldn't you just, why not? An Italian footballer, 26, dies following on-pitch heart attack.
This was 3 days ago.
It's become so cheap. Life, they just don't. He's made it into something he likes. He spent all his life getting to where he is, probably into some position where he can earn a bit of money, and he's dropped dead. He hasn't even got his life ahead of me. It's like footballers used to cry out where they changed all the tax laws before it. We only have so much life and we got to apply it to football, to whatever. We got to make all this money now so it can cover us for the rest of our lives. And then they change the tax things and whatever. You can earn as much as you want and whatever to allow them to do that. He's not even going to get the chance.
Nope. And this was yesterday. Horror as a Ferrero employee and father-to-be 33 collapses and dies on Ryanair flight while his pregnant wife was sitting in a different row of seats. They had to turn the flight around, make an emergency landing. Doctors rushed on with adrenaline shots. Couldn't save him.
Well, it won't. If he's got lesions in his heart due to myocarditis and the capillaries have been buggered up, it's not going to happen. It's not just like an ordinary heart attack. If you have lesions, this is why you should get autopsies done. Anybody with a cardiovascular... In fact, anybody that dies with... Hang on, this shouldn't have happened. Dies suddenly, yeah?
You know, the worst...
You should get an autopsy done.
Yeah, you know the worst thing that I see out of that, apart from the fact that it happens, is the complacency that goes with it after it happens.
Oh, the shrug. It's just, you know.
Yeah, it's just, they all say, like, all the responses from all over, not just in one particular place or one particular demographic or whatever, or one class, whatever, however you want to put people, it's always the same. We ask for privacy during this difficult time and we never know how long we have. And that's it.
You know, if this was a movie, somebody would stand up and go, the hero would stand up and go, or one of the group that are the heroic, you know, ones that are going to win out at the end and go, someone's got to them.
Someone would think so. But you don't celebrate your 16-year-old daughter.
I tell you, you know, if I had a teenager that dropped dead for unknown reason, there'd be an autopsy and it'd be a case, I'm going to find out.
Oh, I want every answer.
And someone's going to pay.
You better
believe it. I'd be pissed. I wouldn't be saying, can I have a bit of peace and quiet? Everybody, you know, you never know when you're going to go. Piss off. I'm upset. You know, it's just,
That's terrible.
No, it's just, it's not, I can't think of the word now. You can't consciously accept that. It's just not acceptable. And when it's one of your family and you're just brushing it off, that's weird. That is just strange.
It is, yeah.
It's just that not a parent doesn't do that.
We are at time, my friend.
Yeah, sorry.
Has been a quick one.
I just wanted to...
That's okay. I haven't had an apology from you in 2 weeks. That's good.
I wanted to show people there because before we came on air, you talked about the financial side, and I wanted to show people how it's not just within pharmaceutical, it's not just within a company that's making or wanted to make a massive battery thing for EVs, but it's endemic within all the big firms in the corporations. These asset management groups are all there in the top five. You know, these are like, they're the top five shareholders just about within the top 500 corporations. And we're talking that sort of power is what's moving everything in the wrong direction. You know, that's why you've got effects on your agriculture. They're all up for corporate farming, but not proper farming. And they're using the climate umbrella for everything. Yeah. So if somebody wants you to donate to this climate farce, tell them to go jump, please. Because it is a lot of hot air and it's worse than CO2. And on that point, I like CO2. I wish people did too. Well, actually, most of the bloody world's population does like it, because how many fizzy drinks do you think they drink?
A lot.
And what makes all them bubbles?
It's that evil, toxic, noxious gas CO2. Called CO2. Yeah. Yeah. They put Coca-Cola and Pepsi out of business if they get rid of CO2. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And SodaStream, too. That'd be gone. Yeah, that's out.
We'll have a green Santa Claus back then.
Santa Claus, yeah. Well, we're going to have it. I think Santa next year is an LGBTQ person, isn't he?
Oh, man, if they do that.
I'm just waiting for it.
In this country, he went from a earthy person to a red, chubby person for Coca-Cola.
Yeah, drinking Coca-Cola.
And now he's got to be trans or whatever.
Yes, it'll be that next year. You watch. All right. We're going to go ahead and call this one done. If you like the content you're listening to, if you want to support us, you can do that by clicking the link in the program description down below. Thank you very much. That will do it for us for today. I will see you maybe later in the week. We shall see. I'm not sure. But we do have Marty back this week, and we'll see what else we have lined up. So thank you for being here today, my friend. Thank you to all of the listeners. God bless everyone, and have a great evening.
Good night, all.